I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about Steven Spielberg and the American Civil War. This is based upon an article here from Breitbart News. Breitbart has an article on Spielberg's new film, a Vietnam War era drama called The Post, that stars Meryl Streep. And the headline says, Steven Spielberg, political divide in U.S. worst since Civil War. You read the article, Spielberg goes on to talk about how the blue and the gray, as in the North and the South, has now become the red and the blue, or the red states and the blue states, etc. Now, what's interesting, and you have to read the article, it's obvious that Spielberg himself is a liberal. And it's, of course, we've known for a long time that Meryl Streep is a very radical left-wing liberal. From comments that she made in this past election and so on, it's just very, very clear. And Hollywood's hypocrisy is astounding, absolutely astounding. But I thought the reference to the American Civil War is very interesting. I wonder if Spielberg remembers that the Democrats were on the side of slavery and that they lost the war because of it, ultimately. But a lot of Democrats today, they think, strangely, they think that they were on the side of Lincoln 150 years ago, when that's completely not the case. Completely not the case. What's also very disturbing is, during the American Civil War, the players who were on one side of the divide in this country during that time, during the days of Lincoln, are still on the same side 150 years ago, later. 150 years later, you have exactly the same people, exactly the same groups support each other now that were supporting each other a century and a half ago. That's the remarkable thing. But Spielberg is presenting this film as though this film is somehow or other going to remind people of how we need to restore truth in our country. Let me read part of this article. It says, quote, Spielberg's The Post, that's the name of the film, stars Meryl Streep as Katharine Graham, the first female publisher of a major American newspaper, and Tom Hanks as Washington Post editor Ben Bradley, who both led the 1971 fight against the U.S. government to publish the infamous Pentagon Papers. And of course, the Pentagon Papers were a report, a study that had been done by the Department of Defense on the United States in Vietnam from 1945 to 1967. And it was first brought to public attention on the front page of the New York Times back in 1971. Anyway, the Pentagon Papers had supposedly proved that the Johnson administration, LBJ, his administration, had systematically lied to the public and to Congress, supposedly. This is the great revelation of the Pentagon Papers. And the remarkable thing about this to me, just the incredible thing, I'm sitting here analyzing all of this information. Here's Spielberg. He wants to make this film. And he says, he's talking about how he says, quote, this was a topic that was scaring everybody I know on my side of the political street. And he's talking about being fearful of the script, right? As though there is some imminent threat for him and Hollywood because of the Trump administration somehow. That's the idea. This is just astounding to me. especially when you consider all of the underhanded activities of the Obama administration, the underhanded activities of Bill Clinton's administration, what people have reported for years, the Clinton body count, all of the people who are said to have died under mysterious circumstances who opposed the Clintons over the years. I mean, you can read these stories all over the internet, but somehow or other, there's this fear of opposing the Trump administration. And of course, I think it's an exaggeration to try and create that sort of, you know, the idea that there's something to be fearful of. But that is part of the tactic of the left to suggest that they're continually in danger. They do this with the gays. Supposedly gays are in danger because of homophobia. They do this with the Muslims. Supposedly the Muslims are in danger because of Islamophobia, etc., etc., etc. It's just a long list because of supposedly bigoted opinions from traditional Americans. That's the idea. Anyway, Spielberg in the interview, he says, he's asked about what media he trusts, if he trusts any, and he said, quote, "I'm not going to go on record saying which media I trust. I'm just saying, obviously, there is media that you would imagine I would not trust." Then he laughs. Then he says, "Obviously, there is media you would take for granted I trust, and you would be right." And then Meryl Streep goes on to say the media she trusts is the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Guardian, etc. Then they start naming Don Lemon, Rachel Maddow, right? Spielberg says he liked Rachel Maddow, so that kind of tells you where he's coming from. And it just goes on from there. The article ends up with this line. This I just thought was incredible. Quote, asked what he'd want President Donald Trump to take from seeing The Post, his film, right? Spielberg said, quote, "The truth is ready to make a comeback." That's what he said. So this film now is just warning Donald Trump, the truth is ready to make a comeback. As though we had 8 years of truth with Barack Obama. No, we did not have 8 years of truth with Barack Obama. Barack Obama lied to the country relentlessly. One time after another, after another. I mean, it's just mind-boggling, the thinking that goes into this. And where the Nixon administration is, the problem for the left right now, I think, their big problem, is that we are no longer reliant upon Hollywood and ABC, NBC, and CBS. If you grew up as I did back in the 1970s, you'll remember, or if you just think back, you'll remember to what life was like prior to the internet, which shows up in the 1990s. But prior to that, through the 70s and the 80s, what you saw and heard on ABC, NBC, CBS, generally, those were the big three. Whatever you heard from those news organizations, that was the news. Whatever was reported in the New York Times, that was the news. That was it. The concept of alternative media, independent media that anybody would listen to at all, was virtually unknown from my memory of it. Then when you get to 1980, you have Ted Turner. He founds CNN, CNN News. That's now being called fake news. Probably CNN is being called fake news more than anyone else. Fox doesn't show up until 1996, and that's the same year that the internet comes in. The internet became available to the public around 1996. This is when people start getting their AOL accounts and checking their mail and all this other kind of stuff, and you have those dial-up internet services. I still remember all of this. But it began to change the world. I mean, it dramatically changed our country. Today, most of us just can't imagine how we ever got along without the internet. But where the subversive news media is concerned, I mean, there was media manipulation going back. I mean, really going back to the early part of the 20th century. You find it back in the 19th century. You find it going back well over 100 years at different levels. If you get the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence by Renee Wurmser, who was the lawyer for the Rees Committee, and the Rees Committee was investigating the tax-exempt foundations like Rockefeller and Ford and the others because of the Marxist influence that they were having on our system, in our education system in particular. But you read the introduction to that book, and in the introduction, you have it's Congressman B. Carroll Rees, who he was the one for whom the Rees Committee was named. He writes in the introduction about the influence of these tax-exempt foundations on the media, and that the media really was responsible for covering up the findings of the Rees Committee. They suppressed them and made sure that the American people did not know about them. What they seemed to do, from my study of it, is they sensationalized McCarthy as this unreasonable, radical, anti-communist, unreasonable guy who was just way over the top, and nobody wanted to have anything to do with McCarthyism. So they cared less about communism and apparently were willing to just kind of let communism go along in our country. Why? Because they thought McCarthy was worse than the communists, because he seemed too extreme. But the real findings were with the Rees Committee. They were the ones who found the real information that people needed to know, and that is still affecting our country to this day. Well, back then and through the 60s and 70s and so on, the mainstream media, they could suppress information like that. They could suppress what a committee like the Rees Committee found. They could suppress that kind of thing, and they could get away with it because people didn't have alternative methods of finding information. Today on the internet, if something like the Rees Committee happened, and if the mainstream media would not report it, it would be all over the internet. You'd have all these independent blogs, independent news organizations, Breitbart, InfoWars, you'd have Front Page Mag, you'd have Drudge, all these different news outlets would be reporting and telling you what the mainstream was covering up. And see, this, I think, is the big difference between what was going on back in the 1970s with this storyline that Spielberg is reporting and the Nixon Watergate scandal. Because Nixon's Watergate scandal, once you learn about it, it's really much ado about nothing. You realize that what happened, I remember hearing as a kid, my parents say, and the adults would say, that Nixon really didn't do anything any different than anybody else was doing. It's just that he got caught and they chose to go after him. And one of the lessons of the whole Nixon Watergate scandal, I think, is that left-wing media arbitrarily decides who they want to hold accountable for something. And we're watching it right now. In fact, I was thinking about this with all of this stuff going on with the Trump administration and the alleged Russia collusion story. This big story, this big fat story that has to do with nothing. This nonsensical story, and the FBI is wasting all kinds of time and money on it and everything else. This is really what went on with Watergate. They wanted to find a way to overturn the Nixon administration, to undermine Richard Nixon, because he was a Republican. And so they went after him, and they kept after him, and on, until the whole Watergate scandal broke. But when you compare the Watergate scandal with things that have gone on with the Clinton administration, things that went on with the Obama administration, it pales by comparison. All right, brethren, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today: the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America. Our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about Steven Spielberg and the American Civil War. One thing I did find interesting, and it is how many people are so very aware of the dramatic divide in our country. This divide, people recognizing, and they keep using the term civil war. I find this over and over and over again. If you just type into Google, into a search engine, America and the coming civil war, there are headlines all over the place. Is America headed for a new kind of civil war? The New Yorker, the coming civil war, America's coming civil war. Are we headed for a second civil war? Are right-wing pundits right that America is on the brink of a civil war? How close is America to another civil war? All of these are stories here just in the last year. Yeah, most all of them. Then some are saying, here's an article from the Daily Signal. It says, quote, yes, America is in the midst of a civil war. Some people think we are in the midst of a civil war, but it is not a war with open battle on the battlefield with firearms and that kind of thing. Rather, it is a culture war that's happening in the media. It's happening in our culture. It's happening in the courts. It's a different kind of civil war. Then you've got the coming civil war in America, Freedom Outpost. Over and over and over again. Then an article from WorldNet Daily, how to avoid the coming civil war. And all of these different articles on it. But the divide in our country, brethren, is very, very clear. Very clear. As believers in Christ, we need to be in prayer for our nation. We are commanded to do this as believers. The Apostle Paul says that we ought to lift up prayers to God for those who are in power politically, for kings and princes and so on. In our case, that would be for the president, for our Congress, for the courts, for the government of the United States. We should certainly be praying for our government. I supported prayer for our government while Barack Obama was in office for 8 years, of course. We don't want our country to fall into wreck and ruin, not at all, no matter who the president is. We want America to be a blessed nation. We know that our leaders are not perfect. We know that things could be better in the country, but that's always the case. I honestly think what we need as a nation, the worst influence to me of the Marxist element, and the leftist element is that it inspires a sense of ingratitude in our country, that it inspires people to be ungrateful for all that God has done for America, and to overlook the fact that God has poured out great blessings upon our nation throughout our history in spite of our imperfections, and allowed us to be blessed as a country really above all the other countries of the earth. And that, to me, is the great tragedy of this divide, that we often overlook as a country why we should be thankful. And I talked about this on the Thanksgiving program. And Charles Dickens, his perspective back in the 19th century, how we shouldn't have one day for Thanksgiving alone. We ought to have 364 days of Thanksgiving and only one day for complaining, because that's how much God has blessed our great nation. But that this divide is there, there's absolutely no question. No question. And but part of why I'm hopeful about the possibilities for Christianity in our country and the world, I have gained a lot of hope really by studying prophecy, studying the scripture, and then studying the history of how prophecy has been interpreted in centuries past by our forefathers, and how they didn't see Christianity in a condition of just getting worse and worse and worse and more persecution and Christians just hiding out in caves and this kind of thing. Certainly they believed that the persecutions of the anti-Christian powers would continue, but that the saints would, by the power of God, systematically overturn the anti-Christian powers. As we read in Daniel, they shall take away their dominion, take away the dominion of Antichrist, or these anti-Christian powers, take away their dominion to consume them and destroy them unto the end. That this would be a struggle that would continue. So yes, there will be saints that will be persecuted and killed, but there will also be saints who, in the name of Christ, will prevail, will have good success and put down the anti-Christian powers. And what's inspiring to me is, in studying the pages of history, we find both at work. We find believers who are being persecuted in every century, but then we find great champions whom God raised up. Men like John Ziska, the Hussite general. We find Gustavus Adolphus, the great king of Sweden. We find Oliver Cromwell and the Puritans, the Puritan Ironsides, and so on. So there have been those who saw themselves as warriors of God, who were able to triumph and prevail for the cause of Christ and God's righteousness upon the earth. And make no mistake, brethren, when you're talking about these men, now the three that I just named in particular, in fact, I've thought about doing a documentary on these great Christian warriors of history. I think it would be fascinating, really, to tell their story and the details, because it's very inspirational. But you talk about these men. These were not men who were in any way, somehow or other, indifferent, or they would just talk about God in a general sense, like we see from a lot of these ecumenical leaders today, where they don't want to offend anybody by mentioning Jesus Christ. No, these were men who were very bold witnesses for the gospel of Christ. And they made it very clear, you know, as Cromwell and the Puritans, no king, but King Jesus. That was their motto. On Cromwell's tomb are the words, "Christ, not man, is king." They were very bold for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the gospel of salvation. They were not ashamed. It's said that Ziska's men took communion out on the battlefield, and they had the chalice of Christ painted onto their shields. They were undefeated in battle. Undefeated. Fighting very superior enemies, but they had faith in God, and they prevailed. So I believe there is a very rich part of our history as Christians, as believers, that we need to reclaim. That's why I talk about Dr. Peter Hammond so much and recommend his writings. Dr. Hammond has done a great service to the church, because the books that he writes about believers are showing really the heroism of God-fearing Christian people who were heroes in centuries past, who did great things in the name of God and for the Lord Jesus Christ and changed the world. And it's important that we remind ourselves and each other and our children that Christians change the world and establish the free world by the grace of God and through the power of God by faith, brethren. And now what's happening is the pagans have come in, and the socialists and the antichrists, and they're trying to hijack all of the work that's been done by our Christian forefathers and foremothers for centuries. That's what's happening in the Western world right now. And we need to reclaim that, because what the communists have done, they've gone in, they've rewritten the history books, and they've turned our Christian forefathers into a band of villains. They've said, oh, they're these horrible people, and they were bigots, and, oh, colonization was horrible, and on and on and on. And they've rewritten the history and made it very unfavorable, as though their own history, as though the history of communism is something to boast about, with all of their mass murders and all of their confusion and wreck and ruin of societies. It's unbelievable, brethren. So we've got to fight the good fight of faith, and we've got to fight the lies of the enemy by proclaiming the truth. Praise the Lord. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.